Good morning, church. This year, our theme is fearless and faithful. But when I hear that word, fearless, I think, honestly, sometimes people are fearless, or they seem to be fearless, because they're simply naive. They're inexperienced. They haven't lived long enough or seen enough to know how dangerous and painful the world can be. Some people are fearless because they're simply optimistic people. It's just their personality to expect that things are going to work out in the best possible way somehow. Some people are fearless because they've been deceived. They've been lied to. They've been fooled into thinking that things are better than they really are. But many of you, you know better than that, don't you? I love you. I love you, brothers and sisters. I love every one of you, whether you're a member here or you're a guest or visitor with us this morning. I love you. And I know that you're not naive and you haven't been fooled. You've experienced enough pain in your life. You've experienced enough danger in your life. You've experienced enough disappointment in your life. You've had really high expectations at times, and you thought things are going to be different this time and things are going to work out really well, and then they didn't, and you've been incredibly disappointed. You've experienced disappointment and pain from people and just from circumstances and life. This weekend, we've had so many wonderful medical professionals and missionaries that have served God and have served people all over the world and have gathered here. And that's many of you. Thank you, by the way, for being here. And I know that many of you have seen the very worst that human beings do to each other. The wounds that cruel and careless people can cause to other people, both mentally, emotionally, and physically, and you've seen what disease can do in people's lives. You know how bad, how difficult, how painful, how dangerous life can be. And so, for all of us, it's understandable that when you read the Bible, say, do not fear, or fear not, or you hear some preacher say, be fearless, it's easy to think somebody's naive. Or somebody's asking me to be naive, or somebody's trying to fool me or deceive me into thinking that things are not as bad as they seem. So it brings up an interesting question, doesn't it? Both realistically and biblically, should we have a negative or a positive view of the future? Let's think about that for a second. As Christians who are trying to live faithful lives as followers of Jesus in the world, should we have a negative view of the future, or should we have a positive view of the future? If you know me well, you know my answer to this is probably yes, both. It's both. In fact, Tim Keller used to say this. I love this. He says, Christianity, paradoxically, is far more pessimistic and far more optimistic than any other worldview simultaneously. Now, how could that be? How could it be that Christianity is both more optimistic, positive about the future, and pessimistic, negative about the future simultaneously at the same time? How can we both have a positive view of what is to come and a negative view of what is to come? In fact, more positive than anyone else, and also simultaneously more negative than anyone else. I think our text this morning will bear that out and will show us how it is that we have a realistic negative view of just how bad the world can be, but also an incredibly positive and hopeful view of how good things will be. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul wrote this letter that we've been studying the last few weeks. Paul wrote this letter from prison, knowing that he was awaiting his own execution. And so Paul is incredibly realistic about what is to come for himself. And he's writing to a missionary an evangelist, a preacher, a follower of Jesus, and he is incredibly realistic about what is to come in Timothy's life. And he knows that not only Timothy is going to be reading this letter, he knows that other followers of Jesus in the first century and today would continue to read this letter, and he's realistic about what you are facing in your life, what every follower of Jesus faces in their life. So again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul writes this, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." Paul is incredibly realistic about just how bad people can be. And some haven't lived long enough to see that this is exactly how people can be. And some of you have lived and experienced, both in your own personal life and what you've witnessed in the lives of others, you've seen that this is exactly how people can be. And so Paul is saying, this is what, Timothy, this is what you should expect, that some people are going to be like this. Not everyone is going to be like this, but there are going to be people in your work, in your life, in your ministry that are exactly like this. And so today, should we expect anything different? Shouldn't we expect that there are going to be people, not everyone, but there are going to be people in our lives too, that are exactly like this? Shouldn't we expect that the people that do not have the Spirit of God, that there are going to be some who act like they don't have the Spirit of God? Shouldn't we expect that exactly what Timothy faced is exactly what we probably will face as well? And Paul's instruction to Timothy about these kinds of people, the kinds of people that would derail his work and stop him from accomplishing what God wanted him to accomplish, his advice is avoid such people. Now, that's not to say don't love them, but it is to say you can't force all of these people to do what you want them to do, to do what they should do, and you can't spend all of your time trying to make them listen to the gospel and follow Jesus. He says simply, there are some people that you're going to have to avoid. There are some people that you're going to have to avoid. In fact, he'll go on, verse 9, and he'll say, these kinds of people will not get very far. Their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Those two men he's talking about are the Egyptian magicians who opposed Moses. And he says, there's going to be people in your life, in your work, in your ministry, who oppose you, who oppose Jesus, who oppose the Spirit of God, who oppose truth. Avoid them and recognize that they will not get very what? They will not get very far. Now, isn't that interesting that Paul simultaneously has this idea that these people are probably worse than you imagine they are? There are people in the world that we sometimes just want to say, well, everybody's pretty good. I mean, most people, they're good people. They mean the best. And Paul says, no, actually, there are some people that are probably worse than you think they are. But, they will not accomplish as much as you think they will. See, sometimes we give too much credit to evil, wicked people. And we think, unless I do something about these people, unless I fix this problem, unless I stop them, unless I oppose them and fight them and do to them what they're trying to do to me, they're going to win. And Paul says, no. You're giving them too much credit. Avoid those kinds of people and recognize that they will not get very far. Their lies will collapse under the weight of their own absurdity. People will recognize, that's not true. And what they're trying to accomplish, that's not good, that's not right. And so Paul says, let them alone. They're going to fail. They cannot succeed. Isn't that good news? Isn't it amazing that we can hold both of those truths in our hands simultaneously? That one, that there are wicked people in the world that are worse than you even think they are. And at the same time, they will not accomplish nearly as much as you think they will. They will fail. That without God, without the Spirit of God, they will not succeed. And so sometimes the best thing that we can do is avoid such people and recognize and know that they will not get very far. Look at verse 10. Paul says, you, however, he keeps doing this. He says, these people, and this is what's going to happen in the world, and this is what you're going to face, and this is the battle ahead of you, but you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Now, these places that Paul mentions, this is the area that Timothy was from. This is his home area. And he knew from the very beginning how Paul was mistreated there, persecuted there. How Paul was finally stoned. Brothers and sisters, as was mentioned already, and there's a map in the foyer, I would encourage you, go look at the map after service and see how we have brothers and sisters today worshiping all over the world. And some of them are worshiping in very dangerous places. And they are hiding from or actively being persecuted because of their faith. And Timothy, he knew exactly how bad things could be. From the very beginning, even before he became one of Paul's co-workers and fellow missionaries, he knew how bad it could be. He saw what Paul went through. He heard how people talked about him. He knew how Paul was nearly executed by being stoned. He knew all of this, so he went into it with his eyes wide open. He knew Paul's aim in life, his patience, his steadfastness, his persecutions, his sufferings, how he narrowly escaped by the Lord's mercies. And he went anyway. He signed up anyway. He became a missionary anyway. He went and preached anyway. He was working, as he received this letter, he was working in Ephesus anyway. Not because he was naive, not because he was just a hopeless optimist, not because anybody had tricked him or fooled him into thinking things are actually not so bad, they're probably going to be pretty good, you're going to live a comfortable life. He knew what he was signing up for, and he did it anyway. Some of you have and will go all over the world to very dangerous and difficult places to share Jesus and to minister to people. And some of us will do that right here in our neighborhood, in our community, in Collin County, in your workplace, in your school. You will go and share Jesus. And we don't know. We don't know how that will work out. I don't know what people will say or what people will do or how they'll respond. None of us do. But we are all being called to more connection with each other, to more outreach into our community. And nobody's fooling us. And we're not naive about just how bad things can be sometimes. But this is the life to which we're being called. And Paul says to Timothy, you know what I went through. But you also know how the Lord rescued me from everything. Now, Paul, come on. How can you say the Lord rescued you from everything? That doesn't mean it was always comfortable. It doesn't mean that he never got hurt. In fact, as he's writing this with chains on his body. And he's writing this knowing that he will be executed. So how can you say the Lord rescued you from everything? You're in prison right now. You are going to die, Paul. But I have news for you. The Lord did. The Lord is. And the Lord will rescue Paul from death. He will raise Paul from the dead. And he did rescue him from prison. And he will rescue you from everything. That doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable or that you won't have to endure pain or rejection or shame. But it does mean that the Lord will walk with you through all of it and that he will rescue us from all of it when he comes. Look at verse 12. Indeed, he says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be, what, church? Persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. All who desire. See, Paul, I don't think Paul believed that, well, this sort of like suffering life, this persecuted life, this like pick up your cross and follow Jesus life, that's something that the apostles have to go through, but the rest of you, you're immune from it. He didn't think that this is something that preachers and evangelists and missionaries, elders, maybe deacons, that this is something we have to go through. But if you're just a regular Christian, you're a regular follower of Jesus, you don't have to worry about all of that stuff. That's sometimes how we think about it, isn't it? We sort of think about it, well, you know, I mean, if you lived in a different part of the world, or if, you know, if you're a preacher or you're an evangelist or you're a missionary, then you might have to be persecuted. But Paul says, no, this is something that every follower of Jesus should expect. Everyone should expect. That doesn't mean that every place at every time for every person is always going to be hard. It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be fun. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are committed to a life of faithfulness, of godliness, then you should expect it's not always going to be easy. And sometimes it's going to be very, very hard, and very difficult. Sometimes people will listen and respond and love you, and sometimes they won't. Be faithful anyway. Do what's right anyway. Stay on this path that you're on anyway, even when it is difficult. And then he says, like, this is what you should do and what you should know, what you should expect, but also that evil people and imposters will go from bad to what? Worse. Go from bad to worse. Not every situation is on a trajectory to get better. Sometimes, I think maybe because of the Enlightenment, we think, oh, everything is just going to get better and better and better and better and better and better. We're just going to constantly make progress towards what is good, what is righteous, what is just. I don't think Paul necessarily shares that vision, that things will always keep getting better in every place at every time. Sometimes, evil people and imposters go from bad to worse. And so again, Paul has this very realistic view. He's not saying, do not fear, be fearless, don't be afraid because it's going to be easy or comfortable or things are just going to keep getting better. Paul's very realistic about the dangers and the difficulties of life. Verse 14, he says, but as for you, this is what evil people and imposters will do, but you, Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He says, you're on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep being who you're being. Keep living how you're living. Keep speaking what you're speaking. You are walking in truth. Stay on that path. You've been on that path. You were set on that path by your parents, by your mom, rather, and your grandmother. And maybe for you, maybe some of you, you were taught the scriptures by your mom or by your dad or by your grandparents. But maybe for some of you, this is a new journey that you're on of following Jesus. And Paul's encouragement to all of us would be this: continue in what you have learned. Don't be derailed. Don't get stuck. Don't stop. Don't get afraid about what you're facing or what you might face or what you will face. No matter how difficult it becomes, no matter how hard it becomes, again, as we've been saying all month, it's worth it. It's worth it. Continue in what you have learned, because this path, it leads to, these sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Especially for one preacher to say to another preacher. The sacred writings, the scriptures, the Bible that you've been reading since you were a kid, they're able to make you wise for salvation. I mean, is it Timothy saved? Yes. Yes, Timothy's saved. Doesn't he know Jesus? Yes. But these scriptures are able to lead you into greater and deeper wisdom, a more worked out salvation, a more fulfilled sense of who you are, a deeper loyalty, faith to King Jesus. Stay on this path. Stay on this path. If your parents, your grandparents, or a friend, or a spouse, a neighbor, a coworker told you about Jesus, and you received this message, there may be times where it gets really, really hard to continue in faithfulness, where God is calling you to deeper and deeper loyalty, and sometimes it seems like you're in over your head. Stay on this path because it's worth it. Jesus has rescued you. Jesus is rescuing you. Jesus will rescue you, and he is calling you to a deeper and deeper loyalty. Continue in what you've learned, Timothy. Continue in what you have learned. Don't give up. There's going to be days, maybe this week, maybe not this week. Maybe this week is going to be really easy and really simple and really comfortable. Great. Praise God for that. But maybe the next week won't, or next year won't. We don't know what lies ahead. Nobody's promised us comfort and ease and wealth and health. But no matter what comes, continue in what you have learned. Then he says this, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good, what? Work. See, maybe you've heard this passage before, but this isn't like a treatise on what Scripture is. It's not just like this academic statement about this is what the Bible is. This is an encouragement for a potentially discouraged missionary, evangelist, follower of Jesus. It doesn't say that the Bible will satisfy every curiosity that you have. Like, if you have a question about anything in the world, just go to the Bible. It tells you everything that you could possibly want to know. Ask every question. It will answer every question. That's not what Paul is saying. It doesn't say it will satisfy all of our curiosity, but what he does say is that the scriptures have God's breath in them. They're breathed out by God. All of these ancient sacred writings that you have, they are breathed out by God, and they are profitable. They are profitable to teach you what is right, to teach you what is wrong, to help you get back when you go astray, to train you to do what is right, to mature you and complete you. Not just so that we feel inspired. Sometimes that's how we treat the Bible. It just inspires me. It makes me feel good. It does that. Absolutely. Praise God it does that. But what God wants to do through the scriptures is to train you and equip you for every good work. It's to help you to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a servant of God, to do the good works that God has laid out for you. For some of you, that may be to go to another country, to care for wounds, to bind up the hurting. And for some of you, it may be to go into your workplace, or go into your school, or go into your home with your family, and to do the good works that God has given for you to do. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter what stands in the way, the Bible, the scriptures are training you to be a servant of God, to do the good works that God has laid out for you to do. See, here's the thing. God doesn't erase the battle. He equips us for victory. Sometimes we want God to erase the battle, don't we? Just take away the obstacle. Just make it easy for me. But there's no promise that God will erase the battle. What there is a promise of is that God will equip you for victory. God doesn't take away the struggle. He doesn't take away the obstacle. He prepares you to overcome it. He gives you everything that you need for life and godliness. Isn't that an encouragement? So on the one hand, we could say, I mean, sometimes life is worse than we could have possibly imagined. And sometimes, honestly, Christians need to get better at saying that. We need to be better at lamenting. We need to get better at saying, this hurts. And I never knew this was coming. And I don't know what to do with all of this pain. But on the other hand, the scriptures equip us to face all of that struggle and that pain and that grief and that sorrow and to come out on the other side victorious. Because Jesus is walking with us and the Holy Spirit is filling us and He has equipped us for victory. That we do not have to fear. That we can be fearless. Not because we're naive. Not because we're just naturally optimistic. Not because someone lied to us or deceived us or fooled us or tricked us into thinking that things weren't so bad. We can be fearless because we trust that God is walking with us. He doesn't erase the battle, but He equips you for victory. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you know, your eyes are wide open to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, but also the life to which He's calling you, and you're ready. You've thought about it. You've weighed the cost. You've thought about discipleship. And you say, I'm ready to pledge my loyalty and my allegiance to King Jesus. I want to die with Him, be buried with Him in baptism, and be raised up to walk in this life of faithfulness. And if you're ready to do that, we're here to help you this morning. Or maybe you already made that commitment. But frankly, it's harder sometimes than you imagine that it would be. And sometimes your battle is in your home. And being a faithful spouse is harder than you thought it was going to be. Being the mother or the father that you're called to be is harder than you thought it was going to be. Standing up to temptation as it presents itself is harder than you thought it was going to be. And you've given in so many times that at some points, and maybe even this morning, you've just thought about throwing in the towel and giving up. But you know it's worth it. It's worth it to continue in what you have learned. It's worth it to allow the scriptures to teach you and train you and correct you and keep you on the path to equip you for every good work. And you're ready to recommit your life to Jesus. Recommit yourself to walking faithfully, loyally with Him. Knowing, trusting that no matter what comes and no matter how hard it is, He is faithful and He walks with you. Or maybe this morning, maybe you just need to say, this hurts and this is painful and I didn't know it was going to be this tough. And you need brothers and sisters in Christ to surround you, to pray with you and pray for you and hold you up and help bear your burdens. That's what your church family is here for, to encourage you, to be with you. You do not have to do this alone. It is impossible to be fearless alone when you know the battles that lie ahead. But you are not alone. The Lord is with you, and His people are with you. And so if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you, if there's anything in the world that we can do for you, our shepherds would love to meet with you and pray with you after service in the prayer room, or you can come forward right now as together we stand, sing this song.